In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Good morning and welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. It's always a blessing to be able to open the Word of God and spend a few moments at the beginning of the day just to kind of get our thinking straightened out and our attitudes right. So many times we find ourselves expressing attitudes that are not biblical, that are not a blessing. And often we make excuses. We simply say, well, that's just the way I feel, or whatever. The problem is, we can face temptations to sin with our words, with our attitudes, with our actions, and not even be aware that we've just blown it. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So for the next couple of times we get together, we want to talk about biblical thoughts when tempted. Biblical thoughts when tempted. See, what you believe about any situation always determines how you feel and act in that situation. What you believe. So when you face a temptation to sin, you've got to believe correctly on four different issues. The first one is, you've got to believe correctly that God is good, and He wants what's best for you. God is good. He wants what's best for you. Secondly, you have to believe, I am fully responsible for all of my behavior, or all my reactions. Thirdly, you have to believe that deliverance from this temptation is possible. It's possible. And lastly, you have to believe that temptation is an invitation to believe a lie. An invitation to believe a lie. Biblical thoughts when tempted. The first one is very simple. We have to believe that God is good. He wants what's best for me. Make that personal. He wants what's best for me. Reminds me of Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, where God is speaking. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. You shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. And verse 14 says, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. When you're tempted, when you're going through hard times, when you're going through very difficult times, always remember, God is good. All the time. And He wants what's best for you. Now Satan loves to lie to you about this. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, where Satan immediately lied to Eve about God being good. He besmirched God's character. He caused Eve to doubt the goodness of God. He said, oh, Eve, you're not going to surely die if you eat of this fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God knows that when you eat of it, you're going to become as gods. You'll know the difference between good and evil. Didn't tell Eve how bad that was going to be. But constantly blaming God, saying God wasn't fair, God wasn't just, God wasn't loving. And so she began to question the love of God, question that God really wanted what was best for them. That's exactly the way God works today. See, Satan will say, well, he just wants to restrict you. He didn't want you to have any fun. Separation from sin is not really relevant for today. Maybe back in your parents' day or so, you didn't hear a lot about biblical separation, but that's fuddy-duddy. Yeah, that's not for today. Or Satan may say, well, everybody else is doing it, so you might as well. See, Satan loves to lie to us about the goodness of God. Our circumstances may even seem to cause us to doubt this. The idea that we can trust God regardless Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so God is simply saying, the way you understand things, the way you perceive circumstances, will not give you right answers. You see, so many times the question is asked, well, why would God allow my spouse to leave me? All I can do now to be happy is just go out and meet somebody at the bar. After all, if God is good, doesn't he want me to be happy? See, those are lying thoughts from hell. Or, well, why would God allow me to lose my job? I guess I'll just have to take a job at the brewery now just to keep up the same standard of living. I mean, after all, they pay the best salary around. Well, I guess the question is this God's standard of living for you? For you? Or are you going to be content to wait for a job that doesn't violate God's word? Habakkuk 2:15 says that cursed is a man that gives strong drink to his neighbor. You see, if you doubt God's goodness, you'll be afraid to trust him in his ways. Trust him in all of his ways. That's why we have to remember, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You don't understand what's happening, so trust me. And so consequently, accepting the fact of God's goodness leads you to two results. You can surrender to him without fear, and you'll thirst for change knowing that the waters of the world all contain salt water. They're all going to make you thirsty more and more. But when you surrender to him without fear, you understand that you're trusting the God who is good and who wants what's best for you. The second area of biblical thinking when tempted is to believe that I'm fully responsible for my behavior or my reactions. I am fully responsible. If I want to overcome temptation, I have to believe that I possess a natural tendency to want to blame others instead of myself. Remember when Adam was saying to God, God, it's your fault that we've sinned. I mean, you created Lucifer. You created the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You allowed Satan access to us. You weren't around when we really needed you, blah, 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 blah. You made the woman that caused me to fall. See, that's just natural in our fallen state. But those are all excuses. Because we possess a responsibility and an ability to be responsible for my behavior. The Bible says in Philippians 2:13, it is God that is working in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God that worketh in me. And see, deliverance from this temptation comes when we concern ourselves with God and when we concur with what God is saying about this temptation. When I make my own choices, I recognize it's rejecting the, well, I'm a victim here. It's not my fault. No, no. Regardless of what people do or say, I simply have to respond. You see, my response is my responsibility. My response is my responsibility. And God is going to hold me responsible. So many times we have a tendency to just kind of blame the circumstances of our country on the world. Somebody said, is America in such bad shape because there's no prayer in the public schools or because there was no prayer in the Christian homes? Well, that's quite a question. Or has America become an anti-Christian nation because Playboy magazine or because we Christians fail to obey the Great Commission and go into all the world and share the gospel so people's hearts and lives and desires would be changed? Does the federal government make me cheat on my income tax returns because they've taxed me above my ability to pay? Well, I've heard that before. See, when I give up my victim attitude and identity and basically remind myself, I am responsible for my responses. I make my own choices. Then I have the second belief to overcome temptation to sin. And only as I agree with God and face every temptation with the knowledge of my choice to sin or resist will I gain victory. Only as I simply say, this is my choice. The third belief in overcoming temptation is the belief that I will eventually reach victory. I believe deliverance is possible. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taking us, but that which is common to man, but God is faithful, who won't allow you to be tempted above that you're able, or with the temptation, he will also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, you can't plead that your case is unique. Joseph overcame lust. Moses overcame pride. Elijah overcame depression. The Corinthian church members overcame major sins. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, remember when the Apostle Paul was writing and he was saying, you were all these things, but now you are different. Now you're changed. You see, deliverance is possible. And God has promised that all the resources I need to be victorious are going to be available. They're going to be available. His Holy Spirit is available to give me power and victory. The Bible tells me in His Word, in Psalm 119, verses 9 to 11, that I have the ability to face temptation and get victory. Psalm 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I besought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So God has said, the word of God will give you the resources that you need. Exodus chapter 17, verses 9 to 15 tell us that we have help from spiritual friends. Remember when Moses was trying to raise his arms to heaven in prayer and he was getting tired and they were falling down and the Israelite army was losing the battle whenever his arms went down. But he had two friends that would hold his arms up. God has given us spiritual friends to whom we can turn, to whom we should turn when we're facing temptation. Now, 2 Peter 2:9 is a great verse to memorize and read it over and over and over again. It says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Then the last belief that we must have to get victory over temptation is that temptation is an invitation to believe a lie. That's number four. Temptation is an invitation to believe a lie. Satan is a liar and the father of all liars. And so whenever he says, oh, it'll be fun, it might be fun for a season, but it won't be fun for long. He is the father of lies. So consequently, whatever he lays in front of us looks good. He shows us the bright lights, but he never shows us the dark alley back behind where the bright lights were. My friend, God has given us a biblical pattern to think when we're tempted. And I trust that these four points will be reminders for you that every day can be a new day and can be a victorious day. Until the next time, the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.